You're listening to Insight on Capital Public Radio. I'm Rick Cushman. The state parks people have an idea. They want to make California state parks and wilderness more inviting to people who don't normally, you know, go to state parks, and more specifically, who don't camp at state parks. One part of that effort is a series of small cabins, very, very small cabins, but also pretty comfortable. They were designed by Cal Poly Pomona student as part of a collaboration between the State Parks Department, the Parks Forward Commission, and Cal Poly. We have Commission Executive Director Ken Wiseman with us in the studio, one of the architecture students, Lida Ayari, on the phone from her home in Los Angeles, and Cal Poly Architecture Professor Juntao Lin joining us by phone from Monterey, where she is, of course, camping. Everybody, welcome to Insight.
Thanks.
Hi, how's it going?
All right, we got a lot of ground to cover here, but I'm going to start with Professor Lowe, if I might. Professor Lin, I'm sorry. Are you staying in one? You're not staying in one of those little cabins. They don't have them down in Monterey, do they?
They do. I'm actually in Big Sur, and they have cabins here. They have the Big Sur Lodge runs a number of cabins, but I am actually camping.
Oh.
Using our pop-up car and a tent.
All right. Well, let's talk about those cabins. We've called them tent cabins, but they're not. They're pretty seriously sound from what we've seen about them. When you have your students sort of go after these sorts of things, what kind of guidelines do you give them?
Well, there was a number of them. The first one was that it'd be really one step up from camping, so not too big. Another one was that it was bare bones, so no electricity and plumbing.
No Wi-Fi, right?
No, unfortunately.
Thank goodness.
That's the next step, maybe. But they also need to be relocatable, so either for Coastal Commission reasons or for parks that want to have tent camping available sometimes of the year. So they had to be able to be transported and moved, and so that actually affected the way that they were manufactured. And they had to be really maintenance-free because it's difficult to maintain these. And, we wanted a connection from indoor to outdoor. And we wanted to kind of stay away from the dark cabin interior, so we wanted something really light and airy.
Well, we saw one here at the State Fair, and we've had descriptions of some of them. And they sound pretty darn nice, with little porches and lots of big windows. Are they designed different? Are different ones designed for different parts of California?
Yes, we have. The one that we built at the State Fair, Wedge, is really designed to work in most of the park's environments. And then there was Revo Pod, which is another one which is kind of a take on a lifeguard stand, which Lida actually worked on. And that one was primarily for a forest or actually more of a beach environment. And then it was Skyline that worked well. And again, that one worked in many environments, including desert and forest. And then Sea Pitch, which was primarily designed for a kind of a backcountry type of installation because it was made out of a kit of parts.
Lida, so when you were working on these things, which one did you work on?
I worked on the Revo one, the fiberglass beach oriented design.
Now that sounds pretty cool. So I'm already seeing a surfboard line against it, and I mean, were you sort of thinking, let's make this feel like I'm at the beach?
Yeah, I think a little of the idea was to make it very versatile. The inspiration actually came from the material, fiberglass being very light and durable, which meant two of the parameters that the state park was looking for. So we landed on this idea of this sort of lifeguard station, and we kind of combined it with the RV, which kind of gave it a little bit more of a beach, but also maybe other locations, a bit more flexibility.
So were you in contact with the other students? Were you guys all talking about what you're doing and I'm going to do this, you're going to do that sort of thing?
Yeah, we started with individual designs. So at the beginning, we had sort of 12 designs, kind of covering a spectrum of materials and possible locations for them and inspiration. And then from there, we boiled it down to four, at which time we sort of split into teams. And that was more of all working together on one particular design. So we kind of worked separately but then together, and then we were in constant contact and in constant group dynamics.
And are you and your fellow students, do you folks camp much?
We were everything from people who have never camped before to people who camp regularly. I happen to to go pretty often or as often as I can. And we all even went on a camping trip together at the beginning of the studio, you know, to get our hands dirty.
Okay. And Professor, did they they all got graded on these?
Yes, they did.
How'd they do?
They did better than average. Yeah, better than my normal studio. So good job.
That's good to know. Okay. And Mr. Wiseman, the studio with us. So there are a few of these out there. Some of them in Marin, as I understand. Are they in other places?
Well, this is a prototype of the new style of a cabin. This is the first one that was built, and now we're looking at how we can get them out to more parks and actually get this one moved to a park and set up and perhaps more funded. And that's one thing, Parks Forward, which is a group that is looking at how we can make the state park system more impactable. It's funded by charitable foundations working on behalf of the Parks Department. Our commission's appointed by the governor's Secretary of Resources, and looking at ways how might we get people to manufacture these, perhaps again with charitable money, then put them out in the field so we have more positive experiences for parks.
I'm talking with Parks Forward Commission Executive Director Ken Wiseman, Cal Poly Pomona student Lida Ayari, and Cal Poly Architecture Professor Juntao Lin about the innovative mini cabins that are being designed and also about some directions the parks are headed. So, Mr. Wiseman, what your group has basically been tasked with rethinking the direction the parks are headed. So what are you folks thinking about? What have you found?
Well, one of the things we looked at, who's our future customer in parks? And that's the millennial, that person born between 1980 and 2000, that's going to be deciding policy and elections and very much as the customer of the future. And in California, probably a Latino. And that, how do you reach out to that group and say, what's relevant to you as a state park? So we did some market research. And one of the things we found were that people wanted an outside adventure, wanted a healthy option, something exciting, something they could take a picture of and share with friends, and not to be camping on the ground, but also not to have a ton of gear, but just a sleeping bag where you could go to a cabin like the one you saw at the state fair, flop down with some friends or your family, and just have a great experience at a reasonable price. So we see it as a real way to connect the next generation to parks, those who may have not had a parks experience.
Well, there's the other piece of the park puzzle, which is a bad alliteration, actually, is finance. And, you know, the Parks Department went through some issues with that. One of the reasons why you folks were formed, as I understand, but it's sort of rethinking or at least deciding on the model, whether it is, in essence, an enterprise model where the parks pay for themselves, and in some cases the parks do. Some parks actually bring in extra money, or whether they are, quote-unquote, a public resource that you know, public money should be spent on. Where are you folks – what are you finding in sort of that debate?
We say there's got to be a balance, that because there are parks that will generate revenue, and there are parks that don't, because they're special cultural or resource places that may be out of the way or may not be appropriate for generating huge amounts of revenue like a beach does or certain
right.
ones. So there's got to be a balance, but you have to be able to take advantage of opportunities that do generate revenue, but you don't want to price yourself out and basically close out people from accessing parks. So you find a balance there. Our commission believes there has to be ultimately a long-term source of funding that is not the general fund, so it doesn't go up and down, but that parks can have a budget that's realistic and then can be funded continuously. So we continue to have and cover the assets, but also manage them in a positive way and in an efficient way.
Now, your folks' mandate, or maybe it's your statement of purpose, says that among the other things you're looking at the financial, operational, and cultural challenges facing the parks. You talked a little bit about it already, but I'm interested in that notion. You know, with a younger, different generation than when you and I were growing up, where backpacking was the really cool thing, although I know lots of very young people who do an awful lot of backpacking, but is there sort of a different relationship with going outdoors among either younger people or in just in society in general?
Well, I think so. And one of our commissioners, Dr. Stephen Lockhart, who's the head of Sutter Health in the East Bay, is really a leader in this nationally and has been promoting that you've got to have an experience, a gateway experience, if you will, just by getting out into open space in, mm-hmm. a local park, and then you can go to a state park, because as we become more and more urbanized, we have more and more kids who have not had that experience, mm-hmm. don't have open space. And a lot of our urban areas are underparked, if you will, as far as spaces that, we had a public workshop in Los Angeles where one of the activists held up an 8.5 by 11 sheet of paper and said, this is the average open space for a citizen of the city of Los Angeles. That's 122 people in a garage. Right. And that's making the point that we need more open space and we need to get people to the open space that we have. And that's in L.A., for example, there's a lot of kids in the city that have never been to the beach that's just 15 miles away. So there's opportunities to connect, and we need to figure out how we can do that and become relevant to this new population.
Well, and certainly that's not always a cost thing. I mean, like you said, the beach is closed. It's a bus ride. And so what is not happening in some of those cases that makes people get outside, would make them get outside?
Well, your example, it's a bus ride. Well, it really isn't. It's just our public transit doesn't connect easily with state parks or
regional parks. Well, bus ride to the beach.
Yeah, bus ride to the beach, yeah. But so you often, it's more difficult to get there. So there's safety issues, there's concerns. Right. That's one of the things we're looking at about how you can perhaps make that easier. And in all parks, we're proposing that both regional parks and national parks together work about how you can get transit more directly to parks. And so people do have the feeling that it's a safe place to go and an easy place to get to.
Certainly get up into the foothills from the urban areas or the mountains. That absolutely. So, Professor Lin, with that in mind, that idea of making the parks in essence more accessible and more inviting to a larger group, what kind of instruction did you give your students for that?
Well, in terms of inviting, one of the guidelines that we were thinking to appeal to millennials, and actually that is really kind of my students' population, was to try to design something that would catch people's attention and they would be able to, for example, post on their Facebook wall and say, hey, look where I stayed, so that should give more exposure beyond just being able to say I went camping, but to also include a visual example of that.
Well, that might be an argument for Wi-Fi, but I'm still against it. Right. We have more information on this story and a picture, at least one of the cabins on our website, which is capradio.org/insight. Everyone, thank you very much for your time. This is an interesting story. We will talk to you more about the parks as your report comes out this fall, right?
Correct, in November.
Right. Well, thank you for your time this morning, everyone.
Thank you.
You're listening to Insight from Capital Public Radio. Coming up, we'll talk more about which fish and seafood are safe for the environment and why. We'll be right back.